It is good to see you, and we're glad that you're here and that you've come to fellowship with us. It's a beautiful day, beautiful sunshine, and I'm glad that you have come out enjoying the weather, enjoying our time of fellowship. Last Sunday morning, we continued on in a sermon series about the church and what Christ said about the church. First message in the New Testament about what God says about the church. And if you remember, Jesus says, "Upon your faith, Simon Peter, I will build my church." And here in a few weeks, we'll get back to what Christ says about the church. But for today, we're going to go on into the Episcopals, into the book of Acts. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. And today, we're going to talk about a church that prays. A church that prays. You know, prayer is something that has become so cliche in the church today. You know, I'm convinced that if we dedicated an entire service every week to prayer, that there would be few who would be willing to come and participate in such a service where all we did was pray. Because in ministry, I've come to find that a lot of times people feel that, you know, prayer is just something we come together to do extracurricular. You know, that's not the focus of a service. A service is, it's really about the preaching, or it's about the teaching, or it's about the song and the worship. And church is about all of those things, and we'll talk more about those things. But today I want to talk about how that a church, especially God's church, ought to pray together. I'm not talking about individual prayer. We talk a lot about individual prayer. We talk about our prayer lives and strengthening our prayer lives and having a prayer closet. What I'm talking about today is God's people gathering together to pray one with another. We don't do it enough. We don't find the true value in praying together as a church. Well, here in Acts chapter 6, in verses 1 through 5, we're going to see how the apostles came together and they prayed about an important subject as the church was beginning to grow. And we're going to see all throughout this message, example after example, about how the apostles, about how that Christ, and about how that throughout history, we have seen the importance of coming together and unifying in prayer as a church. So Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, if you would, stand with me as we give honor to the reading of the Word of God. If you don't have your Bibles with you this morning, the Scripture will be on the screen for you. Here, Luke in his rendition said it this way. He says, "Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the Word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we shall appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word.' And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Porcius, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, apostolate of Antioch." Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank You for the opportunity that You've given us to come here and to be in Your house. Lord, this opportunity to fellowship here one with another. Lord, Father, today I pray that You help to teach us about the importance of praying together as a church. Lord, that You help us to see that it's not something that we spend doing in our spare time. But Lord, that how important prayer was in the early life of Your church. And Lord, help us to understand how that prayer is just as important today. Lord, Father, I pray that if there's anybody here among us, Lord, who has burdens on our hearts, burdens in our lives, burdens within our family, burdens within our spiritual walk, then Lord, Father, I pray that we would be drawn to pray and to come and to give our burdens and our needs over at the foot of the cross. Lord, Father, I pray that if there's somebody here today who's never known you in the free pardon of sin, then Lord, I pray that they would come and sing forth the greatest prayer that any one person could ever deliver, a prayer for salvation, a prayer to come and know you as personal Lord and Savior. Lord, Father, I pray today that you take our church and that you grow us together, Lord, one with another. Lord, I pray that you grow us as brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I pray that you grow us in numbers, Lord, that you multiply our church, Lord, that we might be even more effective, Lord, in going out and reaching others to be saved, going out and ministering unto the communities as your early church leaders ministered. Lord, Father, I just pray that you take this message, that you speak unto our hearts, that you speak unto our lives. Lord, we'll give you all the honor and the glory and the credit that's due unto your name. Lord, I pray you, but use me as a mouthpiece and as a tool, and nothing more, for your honor and your glory. It's all this we ask in your holy, precious name. Amen. You may be seated. The church that prays. You know, the first thing I'd like to talk about in prayer is three very simple facts. Three very simple facts. Correct prayer is always biblical. Correct prayer is always biblical. That's one of the things that we see here in verse 6. And they sat before the apostles and they prayed and laid hands on them. You know, there's a biblical way to pray. The Word of God tells us and provides us with instruction in how that we ought to pray. Christ gave His disciples instructions as to how that they ought to pray, and He gave them example. He gave them the Lord's Prayer. He said you ought to pray this way. All throughout the Scripture and the Word of God, we're taught how to pray, things that we should pray for, how that we should prepare ourselves for prayer. Here in this example, how that they prayed for those who would come and be leaders among them. And in this particular example, not just praying for them, but laying on of hands. So prayer ought to be done in a biblical fashion. Amen? But in today's society and in the church, prayer has become something very different. In a lot of ways, prayer has become a repetition, almost as a tinkling cymbal or bell, as Christ referenced it. You see, the problem amongst the Pharisees in the days of Christ was that the people liked to come out and they liked to pray in public, and they oftentimes would rehearse these great prayers for other people to hear. And Christ, in teaching His disciples, He said, "What good does the prayer of these people do? It's nothing but repetition done in vain." So prayer ought to be done in a biblical fashion. But not only that, I believe that true prayer, as we come together and as we pray as a church, it opens us up to the very presence of God. Praying opens us up to the very presence of God. Prayer is the manner in which we communicate with God. Just as if you would talk to your husband or your wife or your significant other, in order to communicate, we pray to God. That's how that we communicate with Him. We pray unto Him. We let Him know about our burdens. We let Him know about our grief. We let Him know about our praises and the good things in life. We tell them about it, much like we would tell our husband or wife. Now, Heather gets to teach children's church today, but she would be the first to tell you that I am terrible in that department. I never tell her as much as I should. I often forget to tell her things, but our communication could probably be a lot better. Now, Jason and Diane's communication works a little bit different. She just tells him. She just tells him. You know, Jason, I in some ways I envy him. He doesn't have to think about it. He just gets told. And there's some good points to that. Communication's all about how we speak, how we share, how we talk. Well, our communication to God is our prayers. You know, some of us, our marriages could be better if we talk to our spouses more. Amen? Let's try that one more time. Some of our marriages could be better if we just talk to our spouses more. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I believe that our relationship with God could be so much better if we just prayed to Him more. Why? Because prayer opens up the very presence of God. Not only should biblical prayers happen, not only does it open up the presence of God, but I believe that prayer is not something that we as Christians ought to look at as extracurricular. You know, we think if we get to have a prayer service in the week, that's just a plus. That's just an added bonus. When in reality, we as the church ought to look at prayer as something that we make a focal point of our services. Prayer is something that we ought to really dedicate time unto. You know, we went through 40 days of prayer. And we're all the time learning. And as a pastor, one of the great things that I learned from 40 days of prayer, as great as it was, if I could have done things a little bit differently, we would have spent more time praying together. Designating times where we didn't pray separately, maybe at the same time, but where we actually came together, one with another, and we prayed in a common place for a common thing. Because, church, that's biblical prayer. That's what prayer really is all about, is God's people coming together and communicating with Him. And that's what the apostles did. Here in these verses, a lot of times I believe they're misrepresented, misconstrued, and people don't really understand what was going on. But as the church began to grow, the disciples were dedicating themselves to the preaching and the teaching of the Word. But yet we all know that the ministries of the church are far more than just teaching and preaching. You know, the ministries of the church include visiting the sick. It includes caring for the widows. And it says in the daily distributions that a lot of these people were being forgotten. So the disciples said, you know, in our ministry, we need to be able to continue on teaching and preaching. And that's what God's called us to do. But we also need to make sure that the needs of others in our ministries are being met. So they came together and they prayed that God would send them men who would come forward to fulfill those roles. And probably the most recognizable amongst those names was Stephen, a man who would become a great servant of God and be the first martyr of the church, being stoned to death for his faithfulness and his belief in Christ. But they prayed over these men. They prayed not only that God would send them, but they prayed over them as these men stepped forward to become the servants of God that God needed in that appointed time. Church, I want you to know that praying together as a body of believers, it's about praying with a priority. The apostles prayed with a priority. You see, to them, prayer wasn't an afterthought. You see, to them, prayer wasn't anything that was extracurricular. To these men, they prayed that God would deliver, and then when God provided, they prayed further that God would use these men in a great way, and they laid hands on them, and they sent them forward to do God's work. Church, that's biblical prayer. The whole context of these verses is all about ministry. It's all about serving others. If you look in the Greek translation of the word talking about the prayers, you know, the apostles said that they prayed and they didn't want to interrupt their prayers. If you look up the translation for the words that were used there, they're not talking about their time of personal prayer. They're talking about their time of prayer in serving others. They said, we don't want our interruption to be in serving others. It wasn't about a self-serving, but it was much rather about serving others. And if any lesson we can take from the apostles in learning about prayer in the early church, it's this, is our prayers ought not to be prayers of self, but they ought to be prayers of selflessness. Amen? They ought to be prayers for others. We ought to delegate a time in our life where we have prayer time to God, where we talk with Him, where we communicate with Him, where we give Him our heartaches, where we give Him our grief, where we give Him our praise, where we give Him His honor that's due unto His name. But it all revolved around ministry. Their prayers revolved around ministry. The prayers for these men was about ministry and serving others. Lord, send us men who can help serve this group who desperately needs to be served. What are your prayers like today? The vast majority of us, our prayers are all about self. Let's be honest. It's becoming so much about self. Lord, this is what I need. Lord, I wish You'd move in this way. Lord, I wish You'd give me this job. Lord, I wish You'd provide me that raise. Lord, I so desperately need that house, that car. We become so selfish in our prayers. Now, we ought to pray when we need God. We ought to pray and we ought to tell God all of our grief and all of our burdens and all of our pains and all of the things that He needs and wants to hear from us. But I can promise you this, the true trait of being a Christian is learning to move beyond prayer for self and moving into prayer for others. Praying for the needs of others. When is the last time that you prayed for the lost? I mean, let's get real about it. Next week I'll be gone. Hold back the applause, please. Preaching revival. I'll be gone for a week. You get a guest speaker who will come in and deliver you a great word of God. But when I finally do come back, and Lord willing, I'll be back, we're going to talk about Christ and the purpose He set forward for the church. He said, I'll build my church. But what was His vision for building that church? You know, Christ says, I come to seek and to save that which was lost. The whole reason that Christ came and died was that people might be saved. As much as we need to pray for the church that we would grow as believers, we ought to, as the church, be praying for those who need salvation. When is the last time that you really prayed that somebody that you know would be saved? When is the last time that you prayed that a total stranger, whom that you've never met, that you've never known, when is the last time that you prayed that they would be saved? You see, our prayer life has become so mixed up. We've got so much to pray for. We've got the lost. When is the last time that you prayed for your church? When is the last time you prayed about the ministries of our church? Reaching out to those in our community that need to hear about Christ. Those that need to be fed. Those that need clothes on their back. Those that need somewhere to stay. When is the last time that you prayed for those ministries and those people? Some of us, it's been so long that we cannot even rightfully remember. But I can guarantee you, you can probably tell me the last time that you prayed for yourself. We pray for self so much. But the context of the prayers of the apostles and their priority was about the ministry and the service of others. But these men also emphasized something else in the priority of prayer, and that was praying together. Praying together. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, Luke recorded it this way. He said, all of these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus and His brothers. Verse 24 of the same chapter says it this way, and they prayed and said, You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two You have chosen. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, Luke recorded this. He says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and of prayers. Chapter 3, verse 1 says it this way, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Verse 4 and 31 says it this way, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the words of God with boldness. Now in every one of those verses, what's the commonality? They prayed, but how? With others. They. In every example of those prayers, there was more than one. Matter of fact, the first verse that we read and talked about, and in the very next verse, the day of Pentecost was drawing near. And at the day of Pentecost, we know that there were 120 who gathered together in the same place and prayed for the coming of the Holy Spirit. What's the other thing that we begin to rightly see? Not only did they pray, not only did they pray together, but the other commonality that we see in these verses is things happened. Amen? Things happened. When we come together as God's church, and when we pray together in a biblical fashion, asking for God's presence in such a way that it's not extracurricular but has a priority in our life, God begins to move. God answers prayers. Not only do the disciples teach us about the importance of prayer in the early church, but Christ taught His disciples the importance of the prayer in the early church. Where do you think the disciples gained all this knowledge that we read about here in the book of Acts? They gained it from firsthand experience, firsthand knowledge of being followers of Jesus. Praying together is something that Christ not only teaches, but it is something that He commands us to do. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how many times throughout the Scriptures would you like to guess that Christ specifically taught about prayer? How many times did He speak directly about prayer? 37. 37 times Christ taught about how we pray. Now, would you like to take a guess as to how many of those verses that Christ teaches us to pray one with another? To pray in the plural sense. Of the 37 verses, 33 times Jesus says to pray with one another. I don't know about you, but I believe He's trying to send a message. Christ tells us to pray together. It's good that we can pray individually. It's good that we can have a prayer closet. It's good that we can have times of prayer. But Christ teaches us to pray together. He says, come together, one with another. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, He says it this way. He says, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. Now, I know that you're going to find this hard to believe. Me, a hillbilly who can barely talk from Rockcastle County. But I actually learned how to read Greek. Honestly, when I was a student at Clear Creek, we had to, pass or fail. So I learned how to read Greek. And the resources that I learned still help me to this day. One of the things that we so often would look at when we look at this verse is the reference to you. It's said several different times. The first, He says, ask and it will be given to you. And you will find if you knock, and it will be opened to you. Time after time there in those verses, He continually references you. If you look up the Greek translation of the word, it's not plural as in just you. In the hillbilly terminology, it would be you all. Yuns, maybe, because there's more than five, right? That's right. At least that's the way I was taught growing up. I had to testify in court last week. First time I had to testify in court in Fayette County. And there was a very nice female judge that was there, older. And I got through testifying, and she asked me where I was from. She did. And I told her, and she says, well, you have a very cute accent. Bless your heart. That's what she said, swear. You got a very cute accent. Bless your heart. I'm not kidding you. If you don't believe me, go and look it up. Jesus here is telling the people. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. All three times, the Greek translation for the word, you, is plural. Church, He's talking about the church. He's saying you. Church, He's saying us. He says, if you ask, you will be given. He says, if you seek, you'll find. He says, if you knock, the door will be open to you. And He's not just talking about individually. He's talking to us as the church. He's referencing prayer and praying in a unified manner, one with another. And just as we pray in unity, We also see that God's going to move and provide to everyone. Not just a few, not just a select, but to all. God provides. The next thing that we see Christ referencing to praying together, Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. He says it this way. He says, "Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by the Father in heaven." Talks about unity in prayer. If any, he says, "I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask." You know what the greatest challenge in the church today is? Is finding two of you that will agree on any given thing. It's funny, but I'm being serious. Ask any two people about very many topics or very many subjects, and really quickly you're going to find a disagreement. Jason, what's your favorite flavor of ice cream?
Strawberry.
Christy, what's your favorite? Gosh, we couldn't even get through the first two. There's an ice cream social next week for Awanas. We're going to have a hard time figuring out what flavor. Nobody can agree. We can't agree on much. The reality is that we as the church have got to get our hearts and our minds centered down and focused in on the things that really, truly matter. We disagree on so much, when in reality, we have the greatest commonalities. The truth is that we believe in Christ and Him crucified. Christ and Him crucified. You know, that's what Peter said, "I'll go and preach unto them, Christ and them crucified." That was his message. That was a great commonality in the early church. We're believers. We believe in Christ and Him crucified and Him risen again. If any two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by the Father in heaven. Again, we see this commonality of praying together and God providing the results. The apostles taught us about the priority of prayer in the early church. Christ taught His apostles about the importance of praying together. But all throughout the New Testament, we see time and time again about the importance of how we pray, when we pray, the things we pray for, and most of all, doing it together. Acts chapter 1, verse 13, Luke said it this way, "And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James." You know what those men were doing? They were praying. They came together to pray. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, Luke said it this way, "And when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place." You know what they were doing? They were praying. They came together and they prayed. Paul, writing to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, said it this way, "Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and all supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all of the saints." Praying at all times in the Spirit. We talk about biblical prayer, right? Well, we want to pray biblically. We can take a lesson from what the Apostle Paul tells the church at Ephesus. He tells the church at Ephesus to pray in the Spirit. To pray in the Spirit. I believe a lot of times our prayers lack the leadership of the Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit does so much in our lives and in our walk as Christians, but sometimes I believe we forget about one of the great things that I am so reminded of in the Word of God, what the Holy Spirit does for prayer. You know, sometimes I believe we reach a point where we don't even know what to pray for or how to pray for it. Anybody ever been there? Amen. Well, here's what the Word of God has to say about it. The Word of God tells us that the Holy Spirit will come and provide an utterance up for us even when we don't know what to pray. What about that? God knows what we need to pray, when we need to pray it, and how we need to say it. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the greatness of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit. Ask God how you ought to pray. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead your prayers. And he says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keeping alert with perseverance, making supplication for all of the saints. He says here, pray for one another. Don't just pray together, but pray for one another. You know, we talked about all the things that you can pray for beyond yourself. When is the last time you prayed for the lost? When is the last time you prayed for the church? When is the last time that you prayed for me? That's a good question. How many of you all walk out of this place and never think about me again until you walk back in this place? Be honest, a lot of you do. It's the truth. That's just the nature of it. Some of you all probably can't even remember my names when people probably ask you who your pastor is now. Brother so-and-so, I tell you, his name just isn't coming to me right now. Be honest. As your pastor, you should pray for me. You should pray for me. You should pray that God would send me the things that we as a church need to hear from Him. You know, I don't write these because they're what I want to say or what the church just should hear because it's what I think. I really earnestly pray to God that He would send me the messages that we need to hear. You ought to pray for me. And if you don't pray for me as your pastor, you just ought to pray for me as a person. That God would make me a better man. That God would make me a better leader. That God would keep me safe as I go to and from my job and as I do my job. I'm not too embarrassed to ask for your prayers. And I'm not too embarrassed to say that I need your prayers on all levels. I do. I need you to pray for me. When's the last time you prayed for me? When is the last time that you prayed for your leadership? When's the last time you prayed for your deacons? When is the last time that you prayed for our Sunday school teachers who teach your children? When's the last time that you prayed for Awanas and those teachers and Miss Christie who leads that program? When is the last time that you prayed for them? When is the last time that you prayed for the person who sits in the pew next to you? When is the last time that you prayed for the person across the church from you? Maybe that you don't even know that well, but you just know that they attend here. It's a good question. Paul says to pray with supplication. He says to pray for one another. James, the brother of Jesus, knew all about praying for one another. James, in his writings in chapter 5, talked a lot about prayer. And in verse 16, he says it this way. He says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person has great power as it is working. Pray for one another. Paul, in his letters to Timothy, as Paul was imprisoned, writing these jail letters to Timothy before his death, these are the words he told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. He didn't have it. He missed it on there somewheres. But in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, Paul talks to Timothy about prayer. And he tells Timothy to pray faithfully. Pray faithfully. And you know that's interesting. Because here's Paul lifting up another man that he would pray faithfully. Pray for his ministry. Pray for his growth. Paul was at the end of his life. Paul, on the occasion, would ask Timothy to pray for him. But so often, Paul's letters are overwhelmingly about Paul expressing his prayers for Timothy, this young man whom was going to be a great leader in the church. Rather than Paul focusing on his death, his imprisonment, he focused on praying for Timothy. Church, we ought to pray for one another. We ought to pray for each other. You ought to pray for me. We ought to pray together as a church. We ought to pray for our ministries. We ought to pray for the lost. We've got so much to pray for and about. And if you don't know how to pray and you don't know what to pray for, I believe if you ask God, He'll tell you how to pray. He'll tell you what to pray for, and He'll even help you in how to say it. This morning, here's a great opportunity for you to come as our song leaders, as our praise and worship team, as they come, as they prepare. Here's a great opportunity for you to begin a new prayer life with God. Maybe you got things on your heart and in your life that you just need to tell Him about, things that you need to confess. He says here, therefore confess your sins to one another, but most of all unto Him. Right here, right now, you can come and lay your heart's burdens at the foot of the cross. Maybe you need to come pray for somebody. Maybe you need to pray for God's leadership in your life. Maybe you're here and you've never known Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You've never invited Him into your heart. The Word of God tells us that if you believe that Christ is the Son of God and that God raised Him from the dead, you confess your sins before Him, it says you will be saved. It says He's faithful and just. But have you ever prayed that prayer, inviting Christ into your heart? You can come and do that. However God is working on your heart, however God is leading you, you respond. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we close out this service, Lord, I but pray that this time, this moment, that we would be burdened with the desire to pray for others. Lord, to pray for their needs, to pray for their physical needs and their physical ailments. Lord, but more than that, to pray for them spiritually. Lord, I pray today for every person in this world who doesn't know You. All across this world, of every race, creed, color, and socioeconomic status, Lord, I pray that they would be saved, that they would come to that saving grace and knowledge. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here right now that they would come and be saved. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here who just needs to rejuvenate their prayer life, Lord, I pray that they come. Maybe somebody that just needs to learn, Lord, teach me how to pray. I pray that they come. Lord, my prayer is that You teach us to be a church that prays together and that prays for one another. Lord, it's all we ask in Your holy name. Amen.